stink all day,
stink all night.
Let's get it stinking.
I live in a camper, bitch.
Stink all day,
stink all night.
Let's get it stinking.
I live in a camper, bitch.
Hey folks, that was the new song from Dirtbag Denny and Delilah titled Stink All Day off their new album titled Have I Worn These Underwear Yet? And now back to the show. Hello everyone, coming at you live from, where are we today? Richmond.
Vancouver.
Vancouver, British Columbia, Canada.
Yes.
Yeah, we're parked right now next to a river in Richmond. Pretty surprised that we got this one for free.
It's like the only camping spot that has no parking signs.
There's allegedly some spots in Vancouver where if you pull up and park somewhere, it's somebody else's territory and they'll come and give you shit for it.
Yeah, there's like a whole street where just vans are parked and people just claim those spots. So if they leave for a couple of hours to like run errands or something and you take their spot, like they will give you shit for taking their spot. Like they expect it's going to be there when they get back, which is wild, but
should probably introduce ourselves, I guess. I'm Liam. Hi, everyone.
I'm Taylor.
We've been living on the road since June of last year, 2021, give or take.
Yeah, June of last year.
Yeah, we took a few months off in between to work up north in BC and save up some money and then some time spent at home. But other than that, we've been on the road since June 15th last year, 17th last year.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do we currently live in, Taylor?
So right now we have a truck camper. I believe the make is, what is it?
It's a
Shadow Cruiser, which people really like that name for some reason. But it's a Shadow Cruiser. It's basically as old as we are, which is crazy. We're 23 and are...
I'm 24. You're 23.
Okay, yeah. I will be 24 in like a week. But yeah, it's a 1999 Shadow Cruiser. But it was built the year we were born, which is crazy. And we've, like, totally redone the inside of it and, like, customized it. We changed the layout. We added a wood stove. But we'll get more into that later, maybe. And then we didn't always have this truck camper that sits on our truck. What did we have before?
We once lived in a house.
Okay.
No, most of our lives we lived in a house, but then we moved into a trailer in June for the first time. Taylor and I had basically zero experience camping and had been seduced by the van life hashtags, thinking that it was basically like luxury on the road, seeing whatever you want to see.
Easy life.
Easy life, which eventually led us to buy an RV from a dude named Jeff, who kind of fucked us around for a couple months.
He was really sketchy.
Pretty sketchy.
He gave us the RV, like, I don't know, it took us like a month longer than we thought. It was.
It took two months
to get this thing, and he said we were going to get it like way before that. And then finally we meet up with him to do like the exchange, and we're in the RV signing paperwork and stuff. And although he's given this vehicle to us like 2 months later than promised, he did pick us up walking sticks from a homeless man outside of the liquor store, which was like pretty hilarious. But
I thought you were about to say that was sketchy. I was going to say that was like the best part of the interaction.
It was pretty cool.
Yeah, that was pretty cool.
It was funny.
I don't know where the walking sticks are.
I don't know where they are either. No idea.
But he did leave us some mushrooms by accident.
And Coke.
No, I don't think it was.
You said it was.
It might have been Coke.
We never did it.
There's a chance it was just baking soda.
I think it was probably Coke.
Yeah.
And weed.
If it was baking soda, that would explain the headache.
Shut up.
No, we never did the stale old drugs that were left in the camper.
Never do stale old drugs from a random person.
Unless you want to.
Unless you want to.
Yeah, it's a free world. But yeah, so we used to think that we were going to be living in that thing. And it was cool. It was like 23 feet long. We gutted the entire thing. It had way more water damage than we initially anticipated. Jeff led us to believe that it was in mint condition. It definitely was not. Basically, I had to rip the entire thing apart and put it all back together. It was beautiful by the end, but we took it to a few mechanics. It was leaking. They told us, don't take this across the country. So we had to scramble, and then we scrambled and ended up with a 23-foot travel trailer. We were living in that for 3 months on the east coast of Canada. We'll probably do a whole episode about the east coast of Canada at some point.
Yeah.
It's a pretty special place.
But as of you know, June last year when we started traveling, we did the whole East Coast, and now we've done basically all of the West Coast. We've been to every province. The only places we haven't been are the territories. So hopefully we can do those at some point. And obviously there's so many other places we'd love to go. But yeah, we've basically been all across Canada from June to now.
But the majority of our time has been spent in British Columbia, definitely. But in terms of being stationary?
Oh, in terms of being stationary, yeah. We spent a lot of time in BC. We just spent 6 weeks on Vancouver Island. We just got back to the mainland like 2 days ago.
Like, yeah. We're some bona fide islanders now.
We love the islands. What can we say? We spent a month in Newfoundland, over a month on the island.
Week in PEI.
Yeah, week in PEI. We love the islands. They're awesome.
What else do we need for an intro, I guess?
That's not an intro. That's just fucking talking. Okay, so we are by the river in Richmond today, as we mentioned. Today's drink of the day is espresso. With some almond milk.
No, it's oat milk.
It's oat milk, cardamom, and honey. Watered down, because, again, it's espresso. And we're going to be bouncing off the walls.
Taylor gets high on coffee.
I get high on coffee and sugar, like a child.
Mostly sugar.
Mostly sugar.
Yeah.
I get sugar rushes.
What's your background, Taylor? Where do you come from?
Where do I come from? Where do my people hail from?
Yes, where do your people hail from?
So, originally, my people...
Where were you born?
I was born in a place called Caledon, Ontario. I was basically born in Toronto.
I was also born in Caledon.
You were not born in Caledon, you were born in Toronto.
I lived in Caledon, I was born in Toronto.
Yeah, so we're both from Caledon. Liam and I basically know each other because we used to live down the street from each other growing up. And Liam moved houses multiple times, but he always stayed in the same area. And his best friend was actually my neighbor growing up. So Liam and I we're the same age, and we've always gone to school together. So we went to elementary school and then high school together. So we've always been friends.
Yeah, Taylor was actually my first girlfriend back in grade 7.
Yes, I was Liam's first kiss.
Then she broke my heart.
And I broke up with him.
I asked her to go get ice cream with me, and it was kicking me to the curb.
Yeah, I don't think that's what happened.
You went to go date a foreign man from another school?
Yeah, I did. A foreign man from another school. He wasn't foreign. He was just from a different town.
But we stayed friends our whole lives. And then eventually...
Years
we were always
later,
kind of with other people. And then finally there was a point where we weren't. And
yeah.
Things lined up.
Yeah. The stars aligned.
And I think that the basis of our relationship being friendship has helped a lot with this way of life.
We know each other very well.
Yeah, and, like, when things go wrong and things are tough, we always have that, like, basis of friendship to kind of lean on. Whereas in most romantic relationships, like, I don't think you really get that privilege, so we're really lucky to
have that. You don't get that foundation.
Yeah.
Often. We've been friends for, like... probably 10 plus years.
No, longer than that.
Longer than that. 10 plus years. That's why I said plus.
Well, it's more like 20, almost 20 years at this point.
So we have 20 years of friendship
built fucking crazy.
Under this relationship. We've only been dating since January of last year. So basically, we'll get into how this whole trip started.
You can just tell them right now. Why not?
Yeah, I will. That's what I'm saying. I'm queuing it up. So basically... when we were both in university, so I graduated university in April 2021, so April last year, and I was in university, and I really have always wanted to travel. Like, it's always been a dream of mine to travel, and wasn't quite ready to just get a random job that I don't like. I took political science, and I have no intention of doing anything in politics. I don't like, not a fan anymore. Anyways... so Liam and I went on a walk one day before we were even dating. We were just walking his dog back where we both are from. And yeah, we were just talking and we kind of just both decided that we would like to travel and we would like to do it in a vehicle.
Well, I think the exact conversation went, do you want to like go across Canada in a van or something? And I was kind of half kidding. And then you were like, yeah. And I was like, oh shit. Okay.
I was just waiting for someone to ask me that question.
Yeah, so like at first it was kind of a joke, I guess, because we weren't like dating or seeing each other like that. But then it ended up working out. And then a few months later, I was like, holy fuck. Like I'm actually looking at like vehicles online. This is actually going to happen. And then the day that I bought our first RV was like, wow, this is it's actually going to happen. Whereas before it was kind of just like up in the air. Like, is this really going to happen? Are we really going to pull the trigger on this? But I'm happy we did. There's been moments in this trip where I wasn't happy that we did, but I'm very, very happy that, that one conversation, that one weird conversation led to all of this, which is pretty cool.
Yeah, pretty crazy. And now we've done so much and been to so many places.
And now just a quick break from our sponsors for today's episode, Stale Drugs and Dudes Named Jeff. If you ever find yourself in a situation with a dude named Jeff and he wants to leave you some stale drugs, use offer code NOPOSTAL for 15% off of those. Thanks. I have a background in carpentry, and I have for the past, 6 years. When did you graduate high school? 2016. So 6 years, yeah. Oh, my God. So I have 6 years of carpentry experience, kind of off and on. I spent the better part of a year building custom houses with a friend's dad. It was probably the worst 9 months of my life, but I learned a lot in terms of construction. My grandfather was very handy, and as well as my mom. But growing up, I was never really taught many skills, just because of the way we lived. But through this experience, although it sucked, I was also able to like pick up on things like drywalling and carpentry and just general know-how of how houses are put together, which is something...
General contracting.
Yeah, general contracting kind of stuff, which I actually did before the carpentry job. Like, I did that for a few months with a friend's dad, another friend's dad.
Another person.
Yeah, another person. And so that's where a lot of my skills come from in terms of these conversions that we've done, or renovations, whatever you want to call them.
So Liam knows how to do a little bit of everything, and more so now, but you know how to do a little bit of electrical, a little bit of plumbing.
Yeah, which is like a huge, help. Because
yeah, that's
when
the hard stuff, I think. That's the stuff that people don't know how to do, like cutting wood and measuring stuff and making things, like rebuilding stuff in that sense, I feel like is a lot easier to learn than picking up on like how to wire things and how to, you know, install like a toilet properly. Yeah. Like that's, you have to do that properly or else.
Mm-hmm.
Consequences, kind of.
So I learned some of it from other people working for them, and then I also flipped a house when I was in school in Waterloo. I sold it a year and a half ago or something like that. Yeah, we talked about this recently, a year and a half ago.
Yeah, and so explain the house.
Yeah, sure. So my uncle passed away in 2016, and this was right when I was graduating high school, and he didn't have any sons or daughters of his own, so the money in his estate went to all of his nephews, myself included, my brothers included. And the money I had was enough to put a down payment on a house. So I was about to go to school and I thought to myself, why would I spend rent money, like blow all this money when I'm like have this extremely fortunate situation where I can buy my own and then have people pay me rent. I think I was 18 when these conversations started happening, and looking back, I can't fucking believe that I was able to do that, but I'm glad that my parents like encouraged me to push forward with it. I'm glad I had the courage to do it because it paid out really well, which is the basis financially for everything that we're doing currently. And without all that, we wouldn't be able to live
like this. It
wouldn't
have happened as quickly.
Yeah,
we would have taken a lot.
We probably still would have been saving up.
Yeah.
To be completely transparent with the finances with this. And first off, it's probably best to preface it. We've met a ton of people who live in cars and travel like this in cars, or just like really simple minivans. You don't need an extravagant setup to live the way
really
that we do.
You just need a vehicle that is like somewhat reliable, to be honest with you.
Yeah, and like something that's somewhat comfortable. Like one of our best friends
and
that we've met on this trip.
Good camping gear. That's the other thing.
Yeah, and a really good sleeping bag is probably your best
Never
investment.
Never cheap out on camping gear.
Yeah. But one of our best friends that we've met through this trip, she just like travels in her car and
she put together
it's amazing.
A bed with sticks that were just like the right size.
It wasn't sticks. It was like pieces of lumber that she found.
Okay. Pieces of lumber that were like the right size to make a bed in the back of her car. And she nailed them together with a rock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you can do it. And another good friend we met when we were in Alberta, he put together his minivan setup. And I think he said like 2.5 or 3 weeks, like, he decided one day, he just like woke up and he was like, fuck this, I'm done. I'm going to, I think his original plan was like go to the Yukon and end up there in the winter. And he
which
put his,
crazy.
Yeah, which is crazy. And he set up his whole setup in like, God, like 3 weeks or something. So you can set up something super simple and rudimentary
Yeah, I think he had, like, a sink and kind of a counter with storage space. And then, like, kind of a bed area, and that was really it. It was pretty simple. And, like, a little outdoor kitchen, but again, it was really, really simple.
Oh, and we've met other people, like, more people living in their cars in Alberta. Lots of people living in their cars in Alberta. Yeah. So it's definitely attainable, but I just wanted to put all that out there before saying that we had to spend, like, quite a bit to get this up and running.
But you don't always have to.
But you don't have to. I shouldn't say have to.
Especially if you already have a vehicle. Yeah. Like, if you already have a car or something, you don't really need to go and get a van if you don't want to.
Yeah, we were, like...
The car is probably the biggest expense. You don't need a camper. You don't need any of that stuff. Yeah.
But I just wanted to say all that because, like, we are lucky enough to have what we currently have, which is, like, a 2018 GMC Sierra. It's just a half-ton truck. Which cost us $35,000. And I was, because of the sale of my house, I was able to buy in cash. So I don't owe anybody anything, which is just like a huge blessing. And then our camper was what, $4,300, which we split right down the middle.
Yeah.
And then probably like another, I don't know, $1,000 worth of renovations and our our power system cost like $300 or something.
And then our wood stove cost like $1,500.
Yeah. And the wood stove was like $1,500. So all in, I think we had like what, just north of $40,000 for this setup.
I guess so,
something like that. Which isn't cheap for sure, but we've seen some like $200,000 rigs. Like, it's crazy what you see on the road. You can see people driving in like $3,000 beater car that they live in full time, and then you see RVs that are like upwards of $300,000 to $400,000.
Vans, like, they're super expensive vans too.
Yeah, vans have gotten like crazy expensive. Crazy
like expensive. Vans with nothing in them are still really expensive, like vans that you just have to build out.
Crazy. Sprinter vans have gone crazy since like the van life trend started, and also vehicle prices in Canada too, everybody knows about.
If you don't live in Canada and you listen to this, vehicle prices are insane here. Mm-hmm.
Which
right
I'm sure
now.
Is probably the case in America as well.
There's more people there, so there's more
of an inventory. Yeah, I guess so.
But here, used car prices are like through the roof. Like, dealerships, if you drive past one, there's like 5 cars in the lot, if that. Mm-hmm. They have nothing. And so like used cars they never go up in value unless you have some really rare type of, like, you know, like collector type car.
But now every car
but
is going
now,
up in value.
Yeah, so because there's no supply, like, because there's just nothing, the demand for cars, like, it never stops, right? They're not making cars at the same rate they were pre-COVID. Used trucks like the one that Liam has, which is the 2018, it's not super old, but still, it wouldn't be going up in price, is now like double what he paid.
No, it's not double. It's gone up like, no.
How much?
It's like 20% or something. Not double.
Okay, not double. I'm bad with numbers. So 20%, which is just insane. Like, that's just wild to me.
Yeah. That's what we're currently set up with. Like I said, you don't need to have something this extravagant unless you can afford it and really want it. Of all the setups we've had, this one definitely has its problems, but I think it's our best setup, practically speaking.
Yeah.
Because our gas price, the gas that we guzzle, it's not insane. Like, I think it's like 20% less than what we did with the trailer.
Easier to park places.
So much easier to park places. You when you're traveling really... with a travel trailer, you need like big open swaths of land.
Yeah.
BC just doesn't have that anymore.
No, it does in some places, but BC is like, it can be kind of challenging to get free camping. And like, obviously, because we do this full time, we're not going to pay for camping every night. That's not our style.
Yeah, we'll probably do another like whole episode about having to find
how we
free
do free
stuff.
Camping. Yeah, definitely. But mm-hmm.
Which
yeah.
is easier than you think.
It's easier
in a lot
than
of places,
you think. Yes.
But some places it's very difficult.
We've always made it work. Like we've always found a place. It just
takes
some research.
We've had to pay
for
the odd campground sometimes too.
Hardly ever though. Yeah.
And that's more of like
few
a
few and far
choice.
Between.
Yeah, it's
more, yeah,
like more
a of
vacation.
A choice. Yeah, more of a vacation from our vacation. But yeah. So yeah, this one is the best one so far. It's small. It's actually meant for an even smaller truck than the one that we have. So it's pretty tiny, close quarters, but
the square footage is like 25. No.
What is
like
it?
That. I don't know. Not including the bed, I think the square footage is like 25 square feet.
So 25 square feet, that's what we live in.
Yeah.
But we make it work. We've done a lot to this place to make it as comfortable as possible and as functional as possible. And we're really happy with it. We're able to...
Now.
We're not happy at one point, but...
Pretty recently,
but, you know, there's ups and downs in life, and we definitely went through a down, and now we're on the up and up, so... Mm-hmm.
Yeah, things feel a lot better now.
Things feel good. Plus, it's summer almost. Like, mm-hmm. It's almost summer. It's getting warmer. Not really in BC.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, if you're living in British Columbia right now, you'll know that this is some bullshit. Came out here expecting some nice weather. And back home, it's been double the temperatures.
I know. In Ontario, my mom will text me or call me.
Not to be petty.
Yeah, not to be petty, not to be jealous. But my mom or friends will text me and tell me that it's like 30 degrees in Ontario. And I'm like, it's like 8 here. And windy and cold.
It's been eight and rainy for what feels like a long time. I feel like I've been Groundhog Day, but it's finally the tide is turning and we're getting some sunshine and it's more like 13 or 14, which feels like heavenly. At this point.
The sunshine really, really helps. Mm-hmm. Definitely.
But we've been able to stay like comfortable enough in here, thanks to the wood stove that we have. It's a cubic mini wood stove for anybody who's thinking about traveling in cold temperatures. It's the like upper echelon of wood stoves. Is definitely the best one on the market you can find, at least in our opinion, of all the search that we did.
From what we keep hearing, it's the best one you can get.
It's tiny.
Made in Quebec. It's
so
a Canadian
tiny.
Company. They're, yeah, it's really tiny.
It's a foot by a foot by a foot.
It's a cast iron wood stove.
It's got a little like glass door on the front. It's really pretty.
Yeah,
and
it's really cute.
It lets off like a really nice glow at night too, and sometimes it gets way too hot in here. Even if it's, like, close to zero outside.
Oh, my God, it can bake you in here.
Yeah.
It gets really hot.
Which was, like, spooky at first, because I've never had a wood stove. I've stayed in, like, a cabin or two.
You have to be careful, right?
I've stayed in a cabin or two where there's been a wood stove, and I've always loved how it was. So I was, like, so stoked and excited to get this thing in here. But it was scary at first, because I didn't realize how long the paint takes to cure, and it was always smoking in here. I was like, oh, my God.
There wasn't, like,
up.
Much smoke. There was just a little bit of
smoke
that was
kept
getting...
Going
yeah,
off.
Our smoke alarm was, like, going crazy. So we were really worried that, like, smoke was getting in here somehow. But there was smoke getting in, but it wasn't anything to worry about at the time. Like Liam said, the paint needs to cure on the wood stoves, and it takes, like, a certain amount of time, like, burning hours consecutively for
yeah, if you ever
that.
Get a wood stove and you're about to put it in a small space, burn it outside for like half or no not half an hour like 30 hours or something in total before
yeah,
you put it in,
because we did it inside and it was kind of spooky. But
it's non-toxic or anything, but it's definitely
yeah
really
it's
annoying.
Not gonna
it's
kill
scary.
You or anything like that, but it is scary, especially if you're like a newbie to this. And again, it's in a small space, so like obviously there's a lot more to worry about. But we do have a smoke detector, I think we mentioned that, and we also have a carbon monoxide detector
and propane.
So like all of our bases are covered because our stove is propane, and then obviously the wood stove. So if anything does ever happen, if there's any like a leakage of
up.
Any kind of gas, it will wake us up. So
yeah,
we're not gonna die in here.
Yeah, and before we had the wood stove, we have a little like propane furnace thing, and it works great.
It like, just like came with the camper. It's just
all
the only
appliances
heating system.
Work great,
yeah, man. We didn't get rid of any of the appliances, like our sink, our stove, our hood fan, our
furnace and fridge,
everything, all of the appliances, toilet, all everything is in great working condition. Mm-hmm. So we kept that all standard. So a big question we get from I guess people who don't travel as
people
much,
who live in houses.
People who live in the homes that do not move,
the homies
living in the homes.
Housies. There's a term on Reddit I think people use. I think
no
it's
way.
Housies.
What? Housies.
Yeah, I don't know. It's something like that.
Anyways, so the people who don't live in campers always ask us, how do you poo? How do you pee? How do you shower? And quite simply, we do a bunch of different things to get all of those things done. So depends what season you're in. If you're in the summer and you're somewhere warm, obviously you can shower like in a lake. If you have, like, biodegradable shampoo and conditioner and soap, which we always get, so we can do that. So, again, you can shower in, like, any body of water, pretty much, which is easy to do in the summer. Or we have a camp shower, so it's, like, this black bag that you put water in, and then you leave it out in the sun, and it heats up, and then it has, like, a nozzle, just like you would on, like, a shower, just, like, not as high water pressure, and you can control the water coming out. So there's kind of like
it's just gravity fed.
Yeah, it's gravity fed, so you can just shower with that. You put that on a tree or up high somewhere, and then you can use that to shower. It takes a couple of hours to heat up, but if you have like a warm day, mm-hmm. it's super easy to use.
During the cold weather though, we've been showering in like public bathrooms, and what I mean by that is we find like a handicap bathroom that locks at a park or something, and
yeah, just
it's
like
just like a toilet and a sink.
Yeah.
But usually it has a gutter, and we'll heat up water and bring it in a bag, essentially.
We have this
folding
collapsible
bucket
So we usually use that. We'll put heated water into that. Or if the bathroom has, like, sinks with, like, a warm water nozzle, like, that we can use. Because some bathrooms just have a cold setting. They don't have the warm setting. We'll fill it up in that, go in a stall. And then what we basically do is we have, like, a loofah. Like, what is it called?
Yeah, loofah.
And, we'll take a bar of soap, put that in the water, put some soap on the loofah, soap ourselves, and then
we're on a sponge bath regimen.
Like, and we have to wash our hair. We'll either do it in the bucket or in like a bathroom sink or something. But the other thing we do and have been doing, that's a really good hack, is probably like once a week at least, if we can't do a bag shower and we want to kind of treat ourselves, we'll go to a rec center, so like an aquatic center or any place like that. Every town has one. We'll go to one of those, and it's usually like, I don't know, like max like $6 to use their pool. A lot of places out here have like a pool, a sauna, and a hot tub in their rec centers.
Usually for like $6.
Yeah, for like $6 a person, and then you can stay in there for as long as you want. So we'll go use the pool, the sauna, the hot tub, and then after we'll use their showers.
Mm-hmm.
So you get like, you know, an indoor, nice, warm shower that way, and we, you know, we'll do everything in there, which is great.
Yeah.
It's worked out amazing for us.
The showering situation, staying clean, is honestly not that big of an issue.
No.
Like some days you just kind of have to be content with like stinking a little bit. That's just the reality of it. Like we always have deodorant handy and,
baby wipes are your best friend.
Yeah. Baby wipes are really good, especially the biodegradable ones, 'cause we can just compost them after.
Yeah. We have like bamboo ones.
Yeah. The really like annoying thing about this way of life is the shitting situation. Probably
the pooping situation is not all that fun. So we have a holding tank, which basically only pee can go into, like
it's a cassette toilet,
Like I'm sure you could poop in it, but from what I've heard from other people who have a toilet similar to ours, is that if you do poop in it, it's hard to clean and empty, and it will smell bad. So we just avoid doing it all together because we don't want it to stink in here, since it's such a small space and that would just be really gross. So we just strictly number ones in here.
Yeah.
And then, you know, we'll find bathrooms wherever we can to poop. But
if we line it up properly, it's usually the beginning of our day that we find a toilet.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a shit schedule you got to kind of make for yourself.
Yep.
But then like worst case scenario.
Yeah. In case of emergencies, we have a Home Depot bucket that we bought, you know, just the standard Home Depot buckets. And we're going to put, we haven't done this yet. We've actually just been putting a bag in it, and then you poop in the bag, obviously.
That's nasty.
Like a dog. Then you collect and then you throw it out like a dog. But
pooping like a dog.
But what we are going to start doing is putting peat moss in the bucket, and then you can poop in that, and then you have to
It's like a composting toilet DIY.
Yeah.
For $10.
We're gonna see how this goes.
Composting toilets are pretty expensive, especially for the ones in vans. Like,
but you can make like $1,000 your own.
You can make your own. Yeah, we just haven't had the time to do so yet.
So eventually I think we'll do that.
But this is our cheap solution in the meantime.
Yeah, this has been working for us. Most of the time you don't have to poop in the bucket.
Mm-hmm. It's usually a public washroom thing.
Yeah. And if you're camping, like if anybody listening to this camps, like, you know, you dig a hole in the forest
6 or 7 inches down,
and then you bury it and whatever, so
which is oddly,
not that different than that,
which is oddly peaceful.
Everyone likes to poop in the woods from what we hear.
Yesterday I was in a public bathroom, and some old man walked in on me wiping my butt. That was fun. And I
that's so funny. Liam was full frontal and this man walked in wiping his little poopy bum.
It was not my finest moment.
So funny. So recently we were on Vancouver Island. Vancouver Island's amazing. I highly recommend to anyone interested in going there to go there. There's so much to see and so much to do. The people are sick and there's a lot going on, and just, oh my god, the nature is just like it's just beautiful. It's a beautiful place. But the one thing that does suck about Vancouver Island is how hard it is to camp there. So if you're like in the northern part of the island, it's a lot easier to camp. Like you can pretty much park anywhere from what we heard. We didn't go up to the northern end because we didn't have enough time. But from what we've heard, it's like super, super easy to park up there. But if you're, you know, like near Victoria or Tofino and Euclid. Tofino is like a huge surfing hotspot. It's like a big touristy area. Everyone knows Tofino. If you think of the island, you think of Tofino, like, for sure. So in Euclid and Tofino, where like all the good surfing is, it's impossible to park anywhere. So we were talking to
tell them about the slashing tires thing.
Yeah, like it is so aggressive out there. Like the locals really, really aren't down for people parking like on the street and stuff like that, or like overnight camping, that you'll like pass people's houses and there'll be like signs on their lawn that say, if you park here, like expect to have your tires slashed, or just like stuff like that, like really aggressive.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Really unnecessary things being said.
Yeah.
Really crazy action being taken.
It's a double-edged sword, because on the one hand, there's some people, like maybe 1 or 2% of people that live like this, that treat the world like their garbage can and will just like leave shit all over the place, and literal shit all over the place. Like we've heard stories of people just like shitting on the street essentially and driving off. So I get that sucks,
but peeing all over the
vast
place.
Majority of people that live the way that we do are so conscious of their surroundings, and like a lot of us will pick up garbage like from other people. Like there's a lot of us that we talk to, people just that we meet around,
people that we've met who are also traveling,
and we'll just clean up. Like we'll just try and clean up these places for the next person that comes around. But you know, that is the majority of people that do this kind of thing.
Yeah, leaving places better than you found it, kind of mentality.
It's just a good mentality to have with this, because it helps out the person after you. Because it really sucks.
We're just visiting, right? Like this isn't our home. Like this isn't where we're from. So it's like if you come there and you're visiting a place, like you should be as respectful as possible, because you know if you're going there, you have to respect the people who get to use that place all year round.
As a general rule of thumb, the more touristy a place is, the harder it is to find a parking spot.
Definitely. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, they're like, and Tofino is a special case because of how isolated and tiny it is. It's literally like on a tiny peninsula.
It's a really small little town
on the west coast of Vancouver Island.
Yeah, it's a lot smaller than people think it is.
Yeah, but for anybody heading there, it's not the hippie haven that you think it is. Like, it's a cool spot, but
you're not saying don't go. It's just you won't be able to park there. Like, you won't be able to sleep.
And everything is expensive,
there.
And everything's for sale. Euclid's a little bit more special in that
Euclid
regard.
Is a lot smaller. It's way less touristy. Like, it's basically not touristy at all. Like, they don't have like touristy stores.
There's a little bit. They're starting to get a lot more, they've said.
It's hardly like that though. I think they have one gift shop.
Yeah.
One.
And Tofino's got like 20.
And then they have a couple cafes and a couple of restaurants and like some surf shops that you can rent from and stuff. But like,
Euclid is dope though.
Euclid
add that
is
to the
sick.
List if you're heading this way.
Or Euclid sucks, don't go, we should say. but no, it's really cool. The surfing there is awesome. The people there are nice. There's like one place you can park, so you have to look out for stuff like that. But it is still possible. In the summer, I'm sure it's, like, a crazy, hectic, busy. So, I don't know where you'd be able to park. Like, the parking lot we parked in was, like, rather small. So, you might be SOL. But, yeah. Euclid's sick. Try surfing if you can. The island, amazing. But, yeah, it's just not what it once was. People always talk about going to Tofino.
And BC in general.
And BC, yeah. Like, some of BC is pretty easy to park in. Like, not all of BC. BC is really large. Like, keep that in mind. But it can be really difficult to park places. Like, we were in Whistler, and we met someone there, and they gave us, like, a little tidbit on, like, where to park and stuff. So if we didn't have them, we never would have known where to go.
Always talk to people. Like, always talk to people. Like, start a conversation in line at the drugstore, or just, like, bump into somebody on the street and ask questions, because, like, the way that we've been traveling, I think we've called it before, like, the word-of-mouth highway or something. Like, we literally just, like, follow people's recommendations. Like, at first when we were traveling like this, we had a bunch of spots we wanted to go, and we kind of made a list, and then we'd do like an itinerary and like, oh, we're going to be here by Wednesday, be here by Friday, blah, 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 blah. But really quickly, it just turned into meeting someone and then being like, oh, you're heading this way, go to this place. And then we'd go there, and then somebody there would be like, oh, you're here, you might as well go here. And so we've kind of been on that like thing for like, what, like 6 months or something?
Yeah.
Off and on, which is like it's awesome if you can find a way to travel like this, because then you avoid all the tourist spots, you avoid all
and
the tourist traps.
And obviously, like, the locals are going to tell you all the best spots, like, especially if you're nice to them, and they...
Yeah, just be kind and friendly.
Just be kind and be nice, and they will tell you all the best places to go, like, all the best places to hike, eat, best scenery, like, best lakes to swim in, all of that stuff, and you will have a great time.
And if they're nice enough, they'll even let you shower at their house. That's happened a bunch of times to us.
Yeah, we've met a lot of people kind of randomly along the way, young, old, whatever, and they've been like, oh, you guys travel? Like, would you like to have a shower at our house? Would you like to do laundry? And, like, it's never sketchy. Like, we obviously are always on the side of caution, but it's usually people who also travel and know and have traveled and know, you know, the struggle not having places to shower, not having places to do laundry. So usually they'll offer you like a meal, a place to do laundry, a place to hang out for a bit, place to shower. Yeah. It's always worked out for us, and we've made a lot of friends.
Yeah, another good piece of advice too is like, don't just look for people your own age. Like, we've met so many cool people that have been like 65, or even like, I think we've met one or two people who've been in their 70s or something, and we ended up like being friends with them. And it's like, it's amazing. And we have like, most of our friends are a lot older than we are from this trip.
All of them are in their 30s.
We've met one other person that's been our age and traveling like this, which is cool. Yeah. So never miss out on an opportunity to make friends with somebody who's twice your age, because you'll have more in common with them than you think.
I think one of the people we met, he like said something, I can't remember exactly how he said it, but he was saying that like, it's basically...
Oh, the curse?
The curse
is... Yeah, the curse is may you only have friends your own age.
And may you only have friends your own age. That's the curse. And it's totally true, because, like, people of all ages have so much experience and, like, stories and wisdom and a lot to share with you. So to only have people in the stage of life that you're in as your friends is honestly not ideal. It's great to have more variety and, I don't know. It's been great for us. A lot of people we've met, like we said, have been older, and they're all lovely, amazing, fun people. And people who are older, like, especially people who travel or, like, have a lust for traveling.
They're so cool.
They're so cool, and they're just so young looking, young at heart. Like, they have so much energy. They're like kids. It's crazy. So don't be fooled by age, because it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah. Like, there's been people who are, like, they look kind of out of shape, and we're hiking with them. You meet them hiking, and they kick our asses hiking.
Oh yeah.
And we're like, what the fuck?
It's
like,
experience, you know?
Yeah, it's crazy. So don't ever miss the opportunity to hang with someone like that.
Don't ever miss an opportunity to make a friend.
Yeah. Oh, another thing too that we've learned, and myself especially, I'm getting more used to and more comfortable with, is just like following, there's no other way to put it really, just following the wind, I guess. Like, when an opportunity shows up,
Wind blows you.
Yeah, take the opportunity. Don't be too rigid with like, I want to see this place, I want to see this place. So
those places aren't going anywhere.
But the experience will. Yeah. So the experiences and the opportunities that you are like lucky enough to bump into, like, you're not going to get those again.
Yeah.
And that's something that I definitely have changed on. I was very go, go, go.
If someone says want to come to this beach rave or something like that, and you have plans at 5 a.m. next morning to go to some hike, ditch the hike, go to the hike the next day or later on, and go to that beach rave, because you will meet people, you'll make friends, and you'll have a great time, and like, you just can't replicate those experiences. So never be too rigid on your schedule, unless you really have somewhere you need to be. But any opportunity you can take, don't pass it up. You never know what will come of it. And
traveling like this too, like, honestly, friends are like few and far between that you bump into and make. So whenever the opportunity presents itself, make that friend. Like, because it can get really lonely living on the road. Even with two people, it can get really lonely.
So we've kind of talked about this before with
and
other
again,
people.
We'll probably do a whole
And we'll probably talk about this again at large, because I feel like it's a really big thing that people don't talk about enough, or kind of sugarcoat. Like, I've seen lots of TikToks and stuff about people who, like, girls or guys who live alone in vans, and they're like answering questions. They'll be like, oh, people ask me, do I ever get lonely? And I say like, no. And it's like, that's bullshit, because you do.
It's like, solitude is my friend.
Yeah. And that's not like, I'm sure a lot of people are like cool with being alone for a long period of time, but I know that it gets lonely. And like, I do this with my boyfriend, I'm with Liam 24/7, and it still gets lonely, because we don't see anybody else sometimes but each other. So like, not having anybody else to talk to or interact with or like go out with and stuff like that can be really, really lonely. So
thank God COVID is kind of coming to an end, because
it was hard in COVID before. Like, we still made some friends, but barely any, like a handful, maybe less than that. I count on like one hand how many people we like actually got to hang out with. So that now that the mask ban is lifted in Ontario, and you know, you can go to concerts, you can go to, like, kind of all bars, across Canada. And yeah, it's all over the place, but specifically this happened to us when we started traveling.
It's just so nice, like, talking, even if it's a cashier, like, I cherish that now.
Because, yeah,
like,
for a long time,
the only person
precious.
I saw without a mask talking to was Taylor. Taylor's great, don't get me wrong, but...
But you can't only hang out with me, you know? It's like, you can't just have one friend and, like, spend all your time with them. You need some type of variety, you need some, you know, some change-up. But yeah, it gets rather lonely. So when you haven't a chance to meet people, like Liam said, really lean into that because it might be your only one for a while.
Yeah, I think that's also just good advice in general, is to just, like, meet and talk to people.
Just be open to people.
Yeah, like, it's funny traveling because you kind of get an excuse to, like, be more like this and, like, be more outside of your rigid self, or, like, that you might have been back home. But everybody has the opportunity to just, like, spark up a conversation at the grocery store and say, like, oh, what are you into? What are you up to later this week? Like, oh, that sounds cool. Can I join? Like,
not every person you meet will be your best friend or interesting or someone you even want to be friends with, but someone always will at some point.
Yeah.
It's always going to pay off.
Yeah. Like, I've learned a lot from this trip. Maybe one of the biggest, like, learning points has been just that, like, just letting your, like, being more open to experience and meeting people and following the wind, like I said.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Definitely. Camping on Vancouver Island is really, really hard.
Didn't we already talk about that, though?
I didn't mention this, though.
Okay, go on.
And there's this thing that all campers or all, like, van life type people know, and it's called the knock.
Yeah.
And basically what the knock is, like, a bylaw officer or police officer coming to your door and knocking and saying, you can't park here, you gotta leave. Or, like, giving you shit, which sucks because, like...
Or disgruntled middle-aged white women.
Or very angry middle-aged white women. Yeah. So, like, things we've experienced, like, in terms of the knock and just, like, people really not liking when you park overnight in places for free in certain places. So...
Just tell them about the first time that it ever happened in Nova Scotia. I guess I can tell
them. So, okay, we'll start with Nova Scotia. It only happened once on the East Coast,
And that was after, like, what, two and a... No, it happened once where we had to pay, but that was, like...
BS.
It was, like, a weird, like, property.
That was in Newfoundland.
Yeah, but in Nova Scotia, like, we parked next to a baseball diamond one night and had a nice... It was right next to a beach. It was pretty sick. But then the next day, this RCMP guy showed up. He's like, oh, hey, bud, sorry, Derry, but you can't park here overnight, eh? I was like, oh, okay, yeah, we were not going to sleep here. He's like, oh, okay, yeah, no worries. There's lots of provincial parks and stuff in the area there, so just be on your way there, okay? Thank you.
We had already slept.
It was great. He was a really nice guy. And we're like, okay.
Yeah, he didn't give a shit. Yeah. But other people have. So when I was in Euclid, kind of like in the town more, we were parked, or I was alone in a park. Liam had gone out for like a run or walk or something like that, and I was just like hanging out in the camper. And, like, it was daytime, I wasn't doing anything wrong, and then this person comes and knocks on the door, and, like, it was just, like, this male, again, RCMP officer, because they only have RCMP out this way.
Except for Victoria and Vancouver.
Yeah, but, like, in that part, they only have RCMP officers, so anyways, he knocks on the door, I open, and I have to be, like, careful, right, because I'm by myself in the camper, I'm a woman, like, you have to be smart, so he was like, oh, are you alone? And I was telling him that my boyfriend is coming back and you know, like, the safe words to say to protect yourself a little bit. And anyway, so he was like, well, I hope you know that you can't park here and this and that overnight. It's like 4 p.m. and I'm like, well, it's daytime, so I saw the no camping sign, so no, I'm not gonna park here overnight, I'm just like hanging out in the afternoon. And he was like, oh, the signs are working great, like, you know, kind of being like a dick. And then he eventually left and, like, left me alone. But that was the first time we got the knock, like, at this, on this part of Canada and on the island. And then
Salt Spring Island.
And then when we were on Salt Spring Island, we had parked, it was the first day we got there. Salt Spring Island is just off of Vancouver Island. It's like a, I don't know, a 25-minute ferry ride.
I don't even remember where you catch the ferry from.
From Crofton.
Oh, yeah.
Crofton. You can catch it from other places, I think, like Victoria and stuff. But we caught it from Crofton. It was only 25 minutes. Salt Spring's really cool. But anyways, it was the first night we got there. There was a spot on this app we use. It's called iOverlander. Yeah. And
crowdsource free camping.
Crowdsource free camping and like a bunch of other, it has a bunch of other resources, but we use that a lot to find spots. So there's a spot and it didn't say there's no parking signs or anything like that. So we decided to go park it was just this little pull off on a road near the ocean. And basically what happened was we parked there overnight and it was the morning, and like a general van life like rule of thumb is that you should be out of places by like 7 to avoid like this happening, but Liam and I don't always wake up early. So
almost never
like we have been trying, but it's our fault. Every van life person is up at like fucking 6:30 and we are 6 and we're never up that early. But anyways, so this lady like aggressively bangs on the door like super hard and super aggressively, and we were like scared obviously because you can't see from our door, you can't see, no one can see in and you can't see out.
We just saw a silhouette of a hand banging really hard.
Yeah,
it woke us up. I was like, hello.
Yeah, we were like, hello.
And you can't park here.
Yeah, screaming, you can't park here. And then there was another RV like parked just directly in front of us, so then she did the same thing to them. And then she was like, I don't know, I guess she was in her car. She got back in her car to drive away. And while she was driving away, she like laid on the horn. So like none of us could sleep or anything like that. And the same thing happened in Eucula. Like nobody came and knocked on our door, but like the road that, so there was like a parking lot and then a road. A
highway coming into town.
Yeah, a highway coming into town. And people would like lay on the horn while they were passing us at night to like wake us up and stuff just to be assholes. So there's definitely like issues with that, like getting the knock and having people be like rather unfriendly in that way. But those people are hardly ever like rude to you to your face, like, you know, they kind of hide a little mm-hmm. bit behind, like, you know, that lady can't get into the camper, she can only knock, like, unless I open the door for her, like I can't even see her.
Yeah.
And the people in their cars honking, like,
and like we said before, like we're not hurting anybody. It's so strange that we can park there for like 16 hours from 6 a.m till 10 o'clock at night, or however long that is. And then, is that 16 hours? That's pretty good math.
Good for you.
But yeah, if we can park there for 16 hours during the day, and then as soon as it gets dark out, no more parking there. And you're a fucking enemy of the state.
Yeah, and people are just so unfriendly.
We're just trying to sleep.
Like,
we're trying to fucking sleep.
And like, okay, there's like people who camp, you know, who do van life voluntarily and stuff like that. But like, what about people who have nowhere to go and like live in their cars because they can't afford a house or
especially
whatever it is?
Climate.
Yeah, like that happens to a lot of people who fall on hard times. And like,
it's crazy. So like out in BC, for people who don't know, there's a big homelessness issue and
giant homelessness
and
issue.
And so you'll have people who have no perspective on essentially just the world and people's situations in it. They'd be like, oh, fuck homeless people, like how do they like get a job, like why are they fucking homeless in my city?
And
then
that's
some of
the
them
most
are
annoying thing
maybe
people
some of them
say.
Maybe some of them are lucky enough to have a car and they get a car. It's like, fuck you, you need a house, get out of my city if you're living sleeping
it's
in a car.
It's never good enough. Nothing's ever good enough. So people just don't have enough perspective sometimes. Like they are so focused on what they're doing and their lives and their standards and their norms and whatever, they don't realize that people don't have necessarily the same privilege or luck, or mm-hmm. they're, you know, they've fallen on hard times and they're just doing the best they can, and people are very, very critical of that.
Yeah.
Very disconnected from, you
yeah,
know,
like we're lucky enough.
Everyone's just a step away from that. That can happen to anyone at any time. You could lose everything, no problem. Like something happens, you lose everything, you know? Mm-hmm. So people have to be a little bit more compassionate about situations like that, because like I know for us, like we choose to do this, but a lot of other people like don't have the option to choose anything else, at least for the moment. So
like being without a house is a choice for us, and for a lot of people it's not.
Yeah,
so
not every van life person is just doing this for YouTube. Like some people do this out of necessity, like they don't have good relationships with their families, they can't afford to buy a house, they don't want to live where like or they can't afford to live where they want to live or something,
or
like
where
that.
Or where they work.
Or where they work. So they do this. And a lot of people, like especially Eucula, like a lot of people live in their vans and work seasonally there. And they couldn't afford to rent because everything has become like an Airbnb. So there's nowhere to rent. So people are forced to live in vehicles and then there's nowhere to park. So it's just like these crazy issues, right? But again, it's all perspective. People not understanding that this is a multifaceted issue.
Yeah, which I guess brings us into our next and probably closing point for our intro episode, just like what we want to talk about and what we want to bring to the world with this podcast, and then eventually our YouTube channel as well. On a lighter note. But this podcast is going to be, there's going to be a lot of different things going on with it. We want to talk about relationships. We want to talk about psychedelics. That'll be a big component of this. I myself am a massive fan of psychedelics, and I've kind of brought Taylor along for the journey, and she's also a massive fan of psychedelics.
Well, I did mushrooms
now.
Before I started dating Liam, and I did other things, but I did them a lot more. once Liam and I started dating, because I had someone to do them with. My friends didn't really want to do them, and they only wanted to do them in, like, a party setting, and I didn't really want to do them like that anymore, not all the time at least, so it was really cool to be able to do them more, like, I don't know, inquisitively or something like that. More for inquiry.
Introspectively,
yeah. More spiritually, more to, like, learn stuff about myself and my life and, mm-hmm. and things like that.
Which, and they've just helped both of us so much. Like, my main, I guess the main part of my psychedelic journey kind of happened in third and fourth year in university. And I've seen a lot of Taylor's healing kind of firsthand through them, which has been really special. So, yeah, like, we'll be touching on that a lot. We'll be touching on mental health.
Yeah, I'll probably talk about mental health a lot.
Yeah, quite a bit. Taylor and I both have had periods of extreme depression. Mine was more of a, I don't know, I'd say like a brief stint with really severe depression and anxiety. And by brief, I mean something like 8 or 9 or 10 months or something where it was extremely bad. And it was probably borderline insanity at that point for a little while.
And that's what it felt like.
Yeah, that's definitely what it felt like. And it brought me, psychedelics are one of the big things that brought me out of it.
And helped me to heal.
I used to run a clothing company that had a focus on mental health. It was called Inside the Box. And that was a lot of fun. And I love talking to people about mental health. I love opening up about my own struggles with it.
Because if you mention to someone that you have, like, depression, anxiety, whatever you may have, 9 out of 10 times they're going to say, I've experienced something similar to that.
Yeah. So. Like, I've had, I can't even count it on my two hands anymore how many times I've, like, opened up to people about my own struggles, and then somebody who would be like not just a mere acquaintance, but not like a deep friendship that I have with the person, and then they'll end up opening up about their own struggles, and then at the end of it they'll be like, holy shit, like, I've never told that to anybody. So
people suffer in silence, and they suffer
alone.
A
lot of people suffer in silence, so
it's really important to make this a topic of conversation, because I think it's now talked about a lot more than ever, but still, like, a lot of people don't know how to talk about it, don't mm-hmm. have the language, don't have the know-how, resources, people in their lives to talk to, or they think they don't. So it's really important to make this, like, a very open conversation about mental health.
Yeah,
something we care deeply about.
So if nothing else from this podcast, if we can help even one person that listens to it, that'll be a victory in both of our eyes, for sure. So that'll be probably a pretty heavy focus with this. Like I said, and also psychedelics and relationships, and obviously living on the road will be a big part of it. And kind of breaking down this idea that van life is this super glamorous thing. I don't know. There's a lot of stigmas that have kind of shown up through the hashtag van life movement on Instagram and YouTube, where people think that you need to be a millionaire to do this, and you need to have some sexy sprinter van.
You have
with,
to have,
like,
the nicest setup.
Yeah,
the
you need
nicest
to, before
setup.
You can even hit the road, before you can do your first camping trip 20 minutes away from
and
you,
that's
you need
just
to have
not true.
A high top sprinter van and be sexy, you know, like,
you can be the ugliest person in the world, the hottest person in the world, anything in between.
I don't even know why I started talking about looks.
Yeah, not that any of that matters, obviously. You can have a little bit of money or a lot of money, and this life could still be for you.
Yeah, but there's also just it's,
how it looks just might be different.
Yeah, and how it's too glamorized. So that's a big reason why we'll be talking about our shits and our, like, body odor and shit that is real, you know? That's
stuff
not really
that's
talked
hard,
about.
Stuff that we deal with that people don't touch on enough. Like, they may bring them up briefly, but I don't hear enough about the real reality of van life.
So it'll be fun to talk about this on a more open stage than just between Taylor and I and between other people who live in vans and stuff. What else are we going to be touching on in this podcast? Our vegetarianism.
Yeah, we're both vegetarian. Liam has been vegetarian for how long have you been
since
vegetarian for?
Beginning of this year, so 5 months.
So 5 months. I've been a vegetarian off and on for the last, I guess, 3 years.
Yeah. And you'll eat fish sometimes, but
I
mostly
eat fish
vegetarian.
Sometimes, like, I don't know, but I do what makes you feel good type thing. Even with vegetarianism, I still think it's important to, like, eat what makes you feel good, like, if you need to eat fish, eat fish. If you need to eat meat once in a while, eat meat. Like, do you.
Just do your research on where your meat comes from. And, like, do your best. I know everybody's not in the same economic situation that we're in.
Because it can be expensive to eat both meat and plant-based.
Yeah,
everything. Food is crazy expensive now. It's insane.
But fortunately for us, like, we took a deep dive into vegetarianism at the time when meat prices started going insane. So Taylor and I, like, took a walk through a meat aisle for the first time and got since like January, and we were like shocked at how expensive meat was. We're like, Oh my God, yeah. Thank God we switched to
compared
beans.
Compared to when I used to eat meat, like, yeah. It is so much more, it's and like, it wasn't super cheap then either, yeah, but it like, wasn't like that.
It was like, thank God we switched to tofu, like, fucking right.
Also, the great hack of the century is go to farmers markets. If you're looking for produce and you don't want to spend, like, a bunch of money, my friend moved to Barnaby in BC, so it's just outside of Vancouver, and she was telling me that strawberries at the grocery store cost like $18 or $16, something crazy like that. If you go to a farmer's market, like we went to Granville Island, which is like a big, there's a big market there in Vancouver, and produce for like a huge bucket of raspberries, $6. Or like a huge bucket of strawberries, like $6 or, mm-hmm. you know, like way more affordable. So if you can go to farmer's markets or like markets like that with a bunch of vendors, you'll always get produce for way cheaper and it's way fresher.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and also another good hack about being vegetarian or vegan on the road is that food doesn't go bad as easily. We're mostly vegan, like probably 98% vegan, but we like cheese sometimes. And
yeah,
eggs.
We'll still eat cheese and eggs.
If we can find fresh
really
eggs, yeah, if we can find fresh eggs, we'll eat them.
There's a bunch of farm stands around here, so we've been like they're like $5 for like farm fresh eggs. So
yeah, but mostly vegan. So we'll be talking about like veganism and vegetarianism and all the things that come with that because it's a rabbit hole that I'm happy to have kind of stumbled and fallen down. And then we'll be talking about some fitness stuff. Taylor and I are running some trail races in September for the first time, by foot. So that'll be running. It's like a marathon through the woods. So we'll be talking about that and our journey through that. We're definitely not in shape enough for September, the date that's coming around. So it'll be a journey.
You'll be on this journey with us.
Yeah. And yeah, like we'll be...
We're talking about alternative relationships, and we'll get into what that means a little bit more
dun, dun, dun.
Later. But yeah, there'll be some talk about, you know, open relationships and polyamory and things like
that. And different versions of that,
because there's a lot more to that than, you know, again, you see one random TikTok couple or something on Snapchat or something that's like, oh, man has two wives or girl has five boyfriends or whatever.
The relationship we're striving for is not like a typical open relationship. It's not. We'll definitely get into that more soon.
But yeah, if you want to check out any of our social media accounts that we have. So Liam has an art account. It's at Liam Patrick. And then
No, it's at Liam Winslow.
Oh, sorry. It's at Liam Winslow.
But it all, like, honestly, I think we should just send people straight to our Instagram. We'll have all our links there.
Okay. So scratch that. instead, just go to our Instagram. It's at no.postal. On our Instagram,
like
we
no
have.
Postal code.
Life yeah, like, postal code. Like no postal code. That's our whole shtick. But, anyways. Go to our Instagram, No Postal, and you can see our original vehicle. So the RV that we used to have, the trailer that we used to have, which is really, really beautiful.
And pretty soon we'll have
pictures of the camper that we have now.
Which is amazing. We don't.
You
want to
see what we came from, and what we had, and what we built, because we have some videos about that. Then check it out.
And pretty soon, follow us
if you want to.
Pretty soon we'll have a YouTube channel up and running. Taylor's going to be doing a vegetarian cooking show on the road called Dirtbag Diner. Which we're both incredibly excited about.
Yeah, very exciting things to come.
Yeah, and we'll just have some other random YouTube stuff going on with, like, just more general, like, living on the road, camping full-time kind of stuff.
Yeah, tips and tricks, what we can share with you that we've learned thus far.
That's about it. I can't believe we almost did a full hour.
Anyways, for life now. Is good. Please enjoy it.
Peace out. Hey everyone, thanks for listening. I'm really excited to bring you guys along on this journey with us. If you're interested in what we're doing, please check us out on Instagram at no.postal. And until then, see you later.
Peace and love.